Welcome to the Concordia Publishing House podcast, where we consider everything in the light of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm your host, Elizabeth Pittman. On this episode, I'm pleased to welcome the Reverend Dr. Greg Walton and Reverend Tom Egebrecht for a conversation about the importance of caring for the health and wellness of our church workers. Greg is the Vice President for Grace Place Wellness at Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and Tom is the Senior Vice President for Ministry Solutions at LCEF. Before we start our conversation with Greg and Tom, I'd like to thank our friends at the LCMS Foundation for their support of the CPH podcast. How can your congregation turn significant financial gifts into a long-term funding source that blesses your congregation for years to come? The LCMS Foundation was created to provide professional investment services to LCMS churches, schools, and RSOs. They've helped hundreds of congregations create and grow endowments using investments tailored to each congregation's unique needs. And now they'd like to help yours. Learn more at lcmsfoundation.org/podcast. Now on to our conversation with Greg and Tom. Greg and Tom, it's great to have you with us today.
Good to be with you, Elizabeth. Thanks for having us.
A lot of fun.
It will be fun. So for our listeners who are not familiar with Grace Place Wellness, can you give us an overview of what you do and who you serve?
Yeah, I can start with a little bit of history if you'd like.
Sure.
In 1999, Dr. John Eckridge, a gastroenterologist there in St. Louis, a lifelong Lutheran, saw the plight of church workers that he was seeing in his practice and felt that something needed to be done, a lot of stress-related illnesses. And so he began doing a retreat ministry that he named Grace Place Wellness and did that for a number of years while he maintained his practice, which is really just an amazing thing. But he would take primarily pastors and their wives off for a retreat, teach them some stretching and some meditation and really stress relief kind of things and teachings from scripture about how we can handle stress. They were using the Lutheran Wellness Wheel, and I'll come back to that. But then in 2013, let me go back and say that John actually worked with Dave Ludwig, who was a professor at Lenoir Ryan College. And they kind of had a really good program that they used on hundreds of church workers. 2013, John stepped back a little bit, and David stepped back, and Daryl Zimmerman came on board. And Daryl kind of reformatted and really built it, I think, a little closer around the wellness wheel and tied it to Ephesians 4 and fruit of the Spirit as markers of wellness, and did a really wonderful job. In 2020, I actually happened to be on the last retreat with Daryl when COVID hit. And we left there not really knowing what to expect. Well, for the next year, they were unable to meet in retreats at all. And so Daryl wrote a book, Reclaiming the Joy of Ministry, and began using that as a platform to help pastors primarily reach some stuff, stressless stuff in their own life by going through this self-led course. And then he wrote a second edition for Restoring the Joy of Church Vocation for commission ministers of religion. And we know that a lot of preschooler teachers, faculties, have used this as a resource for development in their places. So they're great materials. In 2022, Grace Place Wellness was acquired by a Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And we began a whole new road looking to the future. In September of 2022, I joined the staff, and we've been kind of moving forward, kind of blazing new trails, looking in new directions. And that's really where we're at right now. We're kind of exploring how we can take Grace Place forward to benefit church workers.
No, it's a great service. And actually, John Eckrich is an author of ours and wrote a terrific book, Family Wellness. He's been a guest here on the podcast before. And so it's been fun to get to know him. But the work that you do is so important. Not being a church worker myself, but being part of a church worker's family, you know, I've witnessed the stresses and I've seen a lot that comes along with it. And our church workers carry a heavy weight when it comes to the people that they care for and that they minister to every day. So we're grateful for the work that you're doing to help our church workers stay healthy.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the things that we're exploring right now, Elizabeth, we're working within Ministry Solutions of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, trying to work with Clarity so that as the process in Clarity is building strategic plan, as they build strategic plans in a congregation, we really want to encourage them to intentionally include wellness for their workers. It's so important. Beyond that, though, we're working with circuit visitor groups and congregations to teach church worker support teams. So, you know, one of the shortfalls of Grace Place Wellness has been that we take guys on retreat and they have 5 days of learning and some relaxation, and then they go back into the parish. And within a few months, we find the stress levels are rising once again. And it's because we haven't changed the environment. And so we're really working at how do we change the environment that causes the stress in the first place? And we're trying to help congregations learn to intentionally care for their church workers. If they can intentionally, it's not really huge things. These are simple measures to just care for workers that we know increases longevity and joy in ministry.
What are some of the simple things that our congregations can do to help care for our church workers in a way that can really improve the wellness and well-being of our ministry workers?
Sure. One of the things, Tom and I actually talked about this a little earlier today. One of the things that I encourage is prayer. Our pastors often will pick up the phone and call a member and say, I'd like to pray with you. Can I, they know a circumstance, but what if a lay person called the pastor in the middle of the week and said, Pastor, I just want to pray with you. That can make such a huge difference in their lives. Or, during Holy Week, what if the ladies group perhaps in a congregation were to say, Pastor, we know this is a really busy week for you. Can we provide a meal for your family this week? Just simple things like that. We're not talking about, making a stock investment or anything like that. We're talking about things that really impact their joy in ministry, their encouragement and knowing that they're cared about. And what I often use, Elizabeth, is an illustration of buying a brand new car. You buy a brand new car, you want to take care of it, you wash it and you change the oil and do all those kinds of things. But by year five, you're thinking, I could probably stretch another 1,000 miles before I change the oil, and it's going to rain, so I'll wait till next week to wash the car. But, we do that because the vehicle has been reliable and we put our confidence in it. And I think that's what happens with our church workers. We're confident, we're trusting them, they're reliable. And so we kind of take it for granted. And that's the danger zone. If we're not intentionally making steps to care for our workers, then we're not caring for our workers. So that's really what we're trying to encourage in that realm. And one of the things is sabbaticals. Sabbaticals are now being used by Fortune 500 companies to retain employees because they realize that when they come back refreshed, they're more invigorated to serve. And it's true for the church. In fact, it really started with the church. And I often tell the story that our forefather, C.F.W. Walther, went on a sabbatical after having a nervous breakdown in 1859. And it was when he came back from that sabbatical that years later he wrote The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel, which is still used in our seminaries to this day. Would we have that resource otherwise? I don't know. But I kind of think that little break gave him an opportunity to be refreshed so that he could be more productive. And that's really the benefit of a sabbatical.
And I would add to that, too, that one of the small things, maybe a little bit smaller thing that a congregation can do is we as church workers tend to be workaholics. We work way more than we ought to sometimes, always in service to the Lord and His church. But I've really found it very important in my ministry to make sure that I at least take my day off every week. And if leaders of congregations and lay people would really encourage and respect and reserve that day off for their pastors, that would mean, I think it would mean the world for a lot of pastors if they would be encouraged to do that and act, in fact, sometimes even told to do it. We're going to demand that you do it. And then, as Greg just said a little while ago, all of that can lead to ultimately a sabbatical, maybe every 7 years of ministry, a good biblical number. But a nice 3 month sabbatical, which I was able to have a number of years ago in my ministry, was life changing for myself and for my congregation. And it all it was all led up to by the fact that I was able to take that day off. And then had people in my congregation who were extremely supportive, were professors at Concordia, Wisconsin, who knew what it meant and what it was like to have a sabbatical, and actually moved that forward and made it happen. An incredible blessing.
Well, and I think we can, as lay people, we definitely, as your analogy was great, we can take our pastors and church workers for granted, and you tend to forget. It was a perfect analogy. I'm thinking about it. It's like how I put off like making doctor's appointments. You know, you kind of put them off and put them off. And next thing you know, you're a year overdue and you're like, whoa. The day off is so important. And you're right. Church workers, I think because you all do feel the weight of what you do and the people that you care for so much, it is really hard to step back. And I know for some of our mid to larger size congregations, it might be easier to step back knowing that you have people in place to help, you know, grab the phone, pay a hospital visit if something comes up on your day off. How can our smaller congregations, where there may not be a lot of bandwidth on the church staff, find ways to help make sure that their pastors are taking some time to themselves?
Yeah, it's a tricky area, especially because so many of our congregations are small. But I do think that just having that day or day and a half or 2 days off, encouraging them to maybe go out of town, to do something totally unrelated to church work, to get their minds clear as much as they can. You know, years ago, I had an opportunity I won a weekend at a resort through a ministerial breakfast that they had in our community. And I didn't really think it was real when they called me. I almost hung up on them because I thought it was a timeshare thing. And they said, no, you won this trip. And it was exactly what they said. It was 3 days. All my meals were included, our room and board, you know, the whole thing, and a round of golf. And I remember leaving that afternoon saying to my wife, if I could do this twice a year or once a quarter, I would be so refreshed and invigorated for ministry, because it was just totally freeing. There was no obligations, no responsibilities. Fortunately, my board of elders made sure that I wasn't disturbed during that time. But, you know, it was just refreshing. That's the only way I can say it. And we need that. So many of us are, as Tom said earlier, workaholics. And we thrive on being needed and performing, and yet we need to get away to relax and to rest the body that God gave us. I had a group of guys that I was with last year, all pastors. There are 15 of them, and I asked the question, this was just in casual conversation, how many of them took all their vacation in that year? And none of them did. None of them. And it was almost like a badge of pride that they didn't, well, I didn't take my vacation because the church needed me. Well, the church does need you, but they need you healthy.
And I would say too, in terms of small congregations, one thing, maybe just setting the expectation. A pastor can set the expectation in a number of ways by actually putting it on the calendar in the newsletter, Pastor's Day Off, you know, or putting it in the bulletin. Just say, and obviously there are times when emergencies happen, and yes, the pastor has to be bothered on his day off, and that's okay. Pastors understand that. But if the expectation can be set and it's a consistent thing week after week after week, month after month, and it's on that same day every week, a Monday or a Friday or whatever it is, then I think it's much easier for a congregation to understand and to kind of respect that day off.
And I find by and large that congregations actually do respect that. unless there's a specific need. But by and large, I do think that congregations, they want healthy workers. But again, it's intentionality. You know, are we intentionally trying to help our workers have a healthy lifestyle? It's not a at the top of our thought process.
Well, and it's helpful also for the church worker's family to have that day off be respected, and so that the family can have time together, because so much of the family loses a lot to the church in the normal course of ministry. So to have that time protected is helpful there to protect that family life.
Absolutely. Yes.
As you've traveled and as you've talked to different church workers, what are some of the most common concerns, frustrations, stressors that you're hearing from our church workers today?
I think that there are the spoken concerns, and then there are the unspoken concerns. And really, the spoken concerns often revolve around finances. In fact, nearly all the major concerns that I've heard have been around finances in some way. And they're really more symptomatic than they are the actual concern. The Synod did a study in 2017 and then a follow-up in 2019 for worker wellness. And in both cases, finances and financial wellness were at the top of the list. We know that financial insecurity often is a major issue in marital discord among church workers. And we also know that a lot of church workers end up leaving church work because of the financial constraints and concerns. So this is really an issue, but I really believe that it's more of a symptom than it is the ultimate issue. I think emotional wellness, emotional concerns often are alluded to with a higher demand nowadays on church workers, and the expectations are just sometimes really high. So, and that then leads to some of these other things, because let's just say it's a pastor. He's not at home as much and he's not making any more. The expectations have raised, but the finances haven't changed. And now the family is saying, you're never here. We're still not making ends meet. We're struggling with all these things. And so you can see what I mean, where it's a symptom, but there are other relational issues that are prevalent. You know, we see a lot of vocational issues where we can't turn off who we are. You know, our identity is caught up in our role instead of being a child of Jesus. So those are some of the issues that we see. We also know that loneliness, especially since COVID, has really impacted church workers. They feel isolated and set apart, and in some cases, that's very true. In some cases, we're in the midst of a crowd of people and we feel isolated. So it's really a quandary. And there's all kinds of research out there. Barna has done a lot of research on the resiliency of church workers, pastors in particular. And in 2022, they stated that 46% of pastors 45 and under, age 45 and under, have considered leaving ministry. That's a huge number when you think about it, because we're also seeing pastors and other church workers retire earlier. And so we're kind of seeing this shrinking on both ends, and we need to keep our middle healthy.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I want to piggyback on the whole idea of loneliness. In the work that I've done for the past 4 years with LCEF, doing ministry clarity and capital campaigns with pastors and congregations, it's been amazing to me to see how almost to a person, the pastors just take the opportunity to kind of have a person who's coming from the outside and seeing that as somebody that they can unload on, that they can just talk to, that they don't feel a certain kind of fear to actually, you know, talk about certain things in the congregation or in the circuit or whatever it might be. Just a listening ear, I think, is something that a lot of pastors, a lot of church workers could really use. Somebody who is a non-threatening presence, somebody who's supportive, somebody who would simply just sit there and listen, I think is a huge, could be a huge healthy factor in a pastor's or a church worker's life.
It's almost you need a buddy system with pastors from people completely on opposite sides of the country to be able to have that safety in those conversations.
Good idea.
You mentioned Barna, and I just had a blurb come across my desk today from Barna where I think it was 98% of our church workers recognize the need for mental health care and treatment and taking care of their mental health, but barely only 50%, 52% are actually doing anything about it. I think the more that we can do what you're doing and encourage healthy behaviors and balance among our church workers, the better it'll be long run, not only to help maybe reduce the number of people leaving the ministry, but I also think about the fact that as we face this shortage of church workers, and so many people who might be considering ministry are seeing, in some cases, the overwork, the stress, the financial challenges, and it's not always appealing to think about wanting to go down that road. So I think the more healthy examples that we can show and show that we are caring for our church workers will help on that front.
You know, and you bring up another area, and that is physical well-being, because so many of our church workers are so busy doing the tasks of the church that they fail to take care of their physical bodies. That same study showed that there were 75% of clergy in the LCMS are obese. There are high cholesterol problems. And in fact, it was this reason that the Inter-Lutheran Coordinating Committee on Ministerial Health and Wellness,
the mouthful,
in 1997, they saw some of these issues. And they began working together. It was both ELCA and Missouri Synod at that time. And that's where the wellness wheel came from, looking at these areas of our lives that really need to be attended to. And so, you know, you have in the wellness wheel, you have baptismal wellness, spiritual wellness, relational wellness, intellectual wellness, emotional wellness, vocational wellness, physical wellness, and financial wellness. And they all have important roles. And of course, you know, our baptismal identity, our baptismal wellness is really at the center, because everything should be centered in Christ. So it's a great tool, and we try and make good use of that. We're not alone in that, by the way. It's not a Grace Place individual or, you know, specific tool. Concordia Plant Services uses the same tool. Office of National Missions uses this tool. Shepherd's Canyon uses this tool. And one of the things that we're trying to do is everybody has a little different variation on how that wellness wheel looks. And we're trying to determine how we can have the same across the LCMS, so that whether you're going to Grace Place or to Concordia Plan Services or Doxology or any of the organizations that are caring for well-being of workers, you're going to see the same, that there's a uniformity, that even though we each have different roles, we're working together on behalf of worker wellness in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And that really is the primary concern. Grace Place is really focused on preventative wellness, whereas Doxology incorporates teaching with the divine liturgy, and Shepherd's Canyon is therapeutic. And, you know, Concordia Plant Services offers all these wonderful programs to help with the well-being of workers. So we all have a piece of that pie. But, you know, if somebody comes to me with mental health issues, I refer them, because that's not the area of ministry that we focus on. But we want them to get the help that is necessary. So we're going to try our best to find ways to network them to the place where they can get the best help for their specific need.
There's so much that happens in ministry, and unfortunately, conflict is unavoidable, and conflict can lead to stress and lead to a lot of these challenges. What are some things, what advice do you have for our church workers who to reduce conflict, maybe to head it off if they can, and then to ultimately work through it?
You know, Frederick Buechner said, conflict is inevitable, but enemies are optional. So we need to take that time to really focus on what is the issue. I've often found that the issue is not the real issue, that there's something behind the issue. But, you know, Paul said in Romans 12, insofar as it concerns you, be at peace with all people. So I think it's really important that we as church workers take the initiative. If we know that somebody's upset with us or if there's a concern, then we ought to go and try and reconcile. And I think that really is the key, reconciliation. We should be all about reconciliation as we've been reconciled to God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We want to be reconciled to each other so that we can have that, we can walk in unity and really make an impact on the world. Right now, so often our impact is very interior because we're so focused on the issues within the church that we don't get, we're not mission driven to do the mission that Jesus called us to do. And that's really where we need to be putting our focus. We're like a mighty army moves the church of God. And yet often, you know, a house divided against itself can't stand. So I always think too about where Jesus said in Matthew 5, you know, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar first, go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And God has brought together in the church so many gifted people, but we're also sinful people. I love this quote of Martin Luther. He said, strangely, I am saved from sin, yet I am not saved from sinning. And so the church is still full of sinners, and we need to work constantly at reconciliation with one another. So I think, you know, the advice that I often will give is take the initiative. Sometimes it's not even what you thought it was, but you don't know unless you go and deal with it.
So about a year ago, you can correct me if my timing is off, you both launched the Grace Place Wellness podcast, and a lot of the topics that we've kind of touched on here today, you've covered in some episodes. Tell us about the Grace Place podcast and what your hopes and dreams are for it.
We started it not quite a year ago, but it was something that I had in my mind before we even brought Greg on to be our Grace Place LCEF vice president. Just thought it would be a good way to, podcasts have become such a great mode of communication in this day and age. All these on-the-go people can be listening in all different places and ways and forms. And I just thought when we get a new person on, I'd love for them to be able to have a voice and to have that voice speak clearly out into the church. Because I really have, being a church worker myself, I have a heart for church workers. And really want them to be able to be as healthy as they possibly can so that they can serve in the best possible way for as long as they possibly can. And if there's even a small way that we can do that through our podcast, we feel like we're being successful. So that was the goal of it from the outset. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Greg, now that you've come on board, but that's what we really wanted to accomplish.
Well, honestly, Elizabeth, before Tom approached me with this, I'd never even listened to a podcast. It was kind of a new thing. He's kind of nurturing me along in this process. But I really feel the same as Tom, that if we can impact one worker for the better, then we've done our job. We really want to help workers stop and think about their own well-being. You know, certainly there are outside responsibilities to care for workers, but they're also our own responsibilities to care for ourselves. And we want to encourage that. Just kind of as an aside, I often will say to pastors, if you're not doing your annual routine physical, you're being a poor steward because your congregation has already paid for that when they're paying for your insurance. So it's just, you know, helping workers take advantage of the opportunities that are right in front of them. We really want to help them see that a healthy lifestyle is not really that difficult if you put a little effort into it.
That's the trick, is the motivation and doing it, like taking those steps, even if they're baby steps, a step is a step.
Right. Daryl Zimmerman used to say he had, I think it was 12 words that he would leave with workers. He'd say, in terms of nutrition, he'd say, "I don't eat that." So in other words, when you look at something like a bag of chips, perhaps, or whatever your particular vice happens to be, you say it out loud, "I don't eat that." And it's really effective, believe it or not. It really does work. If you can say it out loud as you look at that, you can actually walk away. And then he'd say, "Walk like you're late." So I call it my airport walk, but you know, walk like you're late, you know, and get your heart rate up, you know, keep walking. And then the last one is get an accountability partner. And we often look at accountability as a negative thing. But the truth is, an accountability partner is the one that's going to encourage you. Pastor, take your day off. You know, pastor, make sure that you're reading scripture for yourself and not just for Bible study or your sermon preparation. You know, that kind of accountability is really helpful. I had a guy, I tell this often, but I had a guy in my congregation who we were both members of the YMCA. And every Sunday, without fail, he'd come out and he'd say one of two things. He'd say, "Didn't see you at the Y this week, Pastor." Or he'd say, "Good to see you at the Y this week, Pastor." And I knew it was coming, so I tried to be seen by him at the Y every week. But, you know, it was that accountability, and it was meant in love. I knew that. But it did hold me accountable to doing that.
For our church workers or even our congregations who want to take steps to get involved with Grace Place Wellness, what would you encourage them to do?
Well, I would encourage them to go to our website. We have a lot of information there. They certainly are welcome to contact me. We can consult and answer questions. We can advise and encourage. But yeah, we have a lot of information on our Grace Place website, which is lcef.org/Grace Place Wellness. So you can find us there. A great deal of information on sabbaticals, by the way. We put up a sabbatical website, and I'll just kind of give a shout out to Pastor Tim Fangmeyer and Wheat Ridge, who basically gave us the information that they once carried on their website. And we've shaped it a little bit more, but it's ours now. And Tim Fangmeyer, by the way, is also one of our sabbatical coaches who's been doing this for a number of years. So we're trying to resource and really encourage workers however we can.
Yeah, and I would encourage people to reach out directly to Greg. He's got a lot of great things going, a lot of ideas in his head. He wants to really support not just pastors and church workers, but he's got an idea of really supporting pastors' wives, which I think is a huge area that could really be...
With Donna Snow, by the way.
With Donna Snow, yes.
Excellent.
Yes, one of your authors, I believe, correct? Yes. So he wants to do that. We want to be integrated in our LCEF ministry clarity process and capital campaigns. We do still, at times... offer retreats if a congregation wants that, or if a circuit wants it, or if a district wants it. And our email addresses at LCEF are very easy, just our names, greg.walton@lcef.org or tom.egebrecht@lcef.org. Real easy to get in touch with us.
Well, I love that you're being intentional about the spouses, because for the families, it's hard. You know, as much stress as the church worker feels, the family observes that and feels that, and, you know, can't really process it outside of the family, because at least they shouldn't, in my opinion. But you still feel that, and you hurt for your family member who is experiencing that. And you do often feel helpless, because there's not a lot that you can do to help lift that weight other than be there to support your family member. So kudos to you for caring for the families as well.
Well, the church worker support team really does encompass the whole family. You know, pastors' wives are kind of invisible. Teacher spouses are completely invisible. You know, how do we help them? Because they're the ones behind the scenes supporting the worker. And when I was a district president, I used to invite the family up when I do an installation. And I'd say to the congregation, you didn't call these people, but these people are an important part of this call. And we would pray for them publicly. And I think that's just such a great practice for our districts to do, to just highlight the fact that, you know, it's not like the family is separate and uninvolved in this. They're a major part of this. And when we can include them and include them in support, you're going to find that, the worker's going to be more productive.
Oh, absolutely. Well, as we wrap up, what encouragement would you like to leave our listeners with, but also leave our church workers with?
Well, I would say simply intentionally care for yourself, intentionally care for your worker. It takes a little effort. It's kind of different than what we've normally done. And yet really, if you go back in our history, it isn't. We did this naturally in the church generations ago, and we just need to restore that, caring for our workers and being the family of God in a local place.
And if you're listening to this and you're not a church worker, I would say do anything and everything you can to love and support your pastor, your church workers. Encourage them to take their day off. Give them little gifts every now and then if you think about it, whatever that might be. Pray for them. Forgive them. Love them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great advice. So for our listeners, we'll link to Grace Place Wellness and to the Grace Place Wellness podcast in the show notes so you can go and learn more. I encourage you to take a look because they're doing great work. Greg and Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. This was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Concordia Publishing House podcast. I pray that this time was valuable to your walk with Christ. We'd love to connect with listeners on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Concordia Pub. Visit cph.org for more resources to grow deeper in the gospel.